Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rock That Relationship. We are here knee-deep in our season all about self-work, self-growth, self-love, putting in the investment in yourself to just be your best version of who you are, right? And so today, we're actually going to talk about a really cool topic that we seem to sometimes take for granted. It's the art of reflection. Oftentimes, we'll say, well, we need to reflect about it, but what does that actually mean, and what does it entail? And we'll talk about what reflection is, what it looks like, what it can be, and we'll actually go through some of the reflection exercises ourselves and see what works for us. So what do you think about today's topic?
Well, I'm reflecting on it right now.
Do you need to reflect on it and figure it out?
A little more, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about some great exercises.
I'm reflecting on it.
You're reflecting on it. All right. Well, let's just start talking about like reflection, right? We think about this idea of reflection. What, if you were to define it in your own words for you, when you reflect, what does that mean? What is reflection?
Well, I mean, I guess, I don't know. That's an interesting question. Like, am I looking back and looking at my life and reviewing it and deciding whether I did right or wrong, or should I have done things differently? I mean, I suppose it's a valuable thing. It's probably a valuable thing to do in therapy. I mean, I do a lot of reflecting, but also I know that if I'm reflecting too much, it's kind of not healthy.
Yeah.
It's not good for me.
Is that because you like tend to like ruminate or speculate if you're getting like,
no, I just feel like things they're done. I don't need to. It's not that. I mean, I have a friend who's much more like, it's done. Never need to talk about it again. But I do. And I've talked about this a lot, process in the moment. So I also really don't feel like I need to be looking back so much, you know, and I've done too much of that in my life. Like, did I make a mistake in leaving this job? Did I make a mistake in leaving that job? Did I make a mistake in doing this? You know, and it is interesting. I just have been like going through and deleting a lot of stuff and kind of, you know, organizing and stuff. And time does really change your perception on things.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool what you talk about, like this idea of reflecting in the moment, but also reflecting when you're kind of away from something. It was really interesting. Like the process of writing my memoir, you know, for the listeners out there, I wrote this memoir called The Soulmate Strategy, and it was about my 1 year post breakup and kind of trying to heal and find love again. And when I initially wrote it, it was within that period of 1 year. And so I was reflecting a little bit back on some of the things that had happened during that time. But then what was really most interesting was the editing process. Like every time I went back in to edit it, I was reading through and I was doing more and more meaning making as I'm reading each thing and saying, wow, I'm, you know, originally I took this from this experience, but now like some time has passed and I'm taking this from this experience and taking this and this. And so it's this idea that it kind of forced a reflection that lasted over and over and over for 4 straight years that made me kind of see things differently. And I don't know that I would have done that readily had I, you know, just been reflecting without writing a book.
Right. And does that make your reflections more or less correct if they're done at different times? You know, like, or is it just where we are in our life at that time? Like, I know there's some things in your memoir that pertain to me. I was discussing that this morning, that like, none of that is even relevant to who I am now, and I have zero feelings about it. And so therefore, to me, it's like not even me or my life, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the thing is like when you capture something in a certain space and time, right? It's your truth then, right? And so the story is the truth that we were both experiencing. And then it becomes a story, even though that might be less relevant or less pertinent in our days today, right? Like, you know, you and I have both changed so much since 2021 when I started writing this story. And so part of that change has been our reflection and learning and growing and detaching and reattaching and all these other things that we've done. But I think that that reflection that we were doing then is also useful for reflection that we're doing today. Because you can look back on that, and you even said this, that you talked about this morning, that reflecting back on that, that you have zero feelings towards that now. So that's even reflecting in and of itself, right? Saying, that you're not deriving meaning currently.
Well, and I think reflection has to be only done at your own desire or pace, right? That somebody else shouldn't force it, which I've tried to force other people to reflect and it doesn't go well. So I've learned that lesson, you know?
No, like asking them questions or trying to get them to talk about something when before they're ready kind of thing.
Yeah, trying to get them to talk about their life and what's led them to where they are, which is causing their serious dysfunction. And then, you know, we've talked about this many times, like you can't change somebody else. And also you have to take someone as they are. And I didn't always do that. You need to change or you need to look at this. Or I mean, there's times when I need to understand something, but I was doing things with other people where I was like, look, you are dysfunctional. You need to look at yourself and fix that. And, you know, that happened to me and it didn't go well when somebody else tried to do it to me. So I don't know why I thought it would go well when I tried to do it to somebody else. And in the end, it's really only up to them. It's like about them, and it should be between you and yourself. I mean, you could ask outsiders or friends, you know, about their perceptions at the time, but really, you know, just as beauty is in the eye of the beholder, your own self is in your own eye, right? Like, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks.
Right. Well, and I think the timing, like you say, is really important. You know, some people aren't ready to reflect on something, right?
And so it doesn't make them a different person or better person or whatever, but it can say, okay, well, I'm a better person now than I was maybe 5-10 years ago. And that's through the art of reflection, you know, having done a lot of reflection. But I am the same person, but I'm also a more evolved person, or, you know, but I really don't think someone else can. People may give you opportunities for you to do that work, but they can't force you to do the work. And I'm saying that, and I can't force anybody else to do that work. You know?
Yeah.
I could provide the space, I could provide the whatever, but I've literally tried to force it before and it just doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, and you talking about it from your own perspective of having someone do that to you, I mean, it almost becomes more resistant. Like you know, you're trying to get me to, you know, reflect on this and think about it and process through it. And I'm not ready. And now I'm putting up a big wall around me because I don't want to talk about this stuff. And so.
Well, and you might not even know you're doing that, right? It might not be like intentional.
Right. Exactly. I mean, because people have built walls around their experiences, their memories, all of these things, their whole lives. And so, you know, even for someone who's ready to reflect and process on something, it isn't just as easy as like, okay, I'm good now. Open up those gates. Like it takes a lot of work to just get to a point where you can even begin to process. And so certainly not going to be someone else who corners you and is like trying to get you to talk about something you don't want to talk about.
Right.
So when we talk about reflection, I think of, okay, so we like our self-reflection, right? When we engage in the process of self-reflection, there's kind of two ways in which we reflect. One is like kind of a general way of reflecting. Like we just think back about something more generally that happened and kind of reflect and do meaning making. And then there's other ones where we have like an incident and then we reflect and replay that incident and try to look for patterns. But let's talk about the first one, because I'm just curious. I don't think I've ever known this about you other than more recently, but really in general, do you ever just like generally reflect? Like every night, and I'll give you an example, like every night when my daughter was here, she's in Germany now, but we would sit at the table and we would do highlights and lowlights of the day. And then sometimes we would say like one thing we learned today. So it was like a process of reflection. It was participatory reflection, but it wasn't about any incidents. What was the highlight of the day? What was the low light of the day? And then something we learned. And we did this every day. And then, you know, as well as I do, and you, this is the part I know that you sort of got into for a little bit, there was conversation cards where you're like asking prompts and you're just sort of reflecting on things, but that's not because something happened and you need to process it. It's more just like generally engaging in a reflective practice. Do you do that, even if you're not talking with others, but do you do that in your head, or what? How do you do your general reflection?
Not in that way, no. I mean, I'm grateful. Like I do gratitude, but I don't sit down every day and go, This is what I'm grateful for. But with kids, I will say, like, okay, like we need to really think about what we're grateful for, talk about it at dinner or whatever. And these are the things you should be grateful for. But I mean, I kind of do that every day just in my own head, you know? But I mean, I'm very appreciative of the what I have in this world. But no, I don't do that. Like, I don't need do like an inventory and then go over everything.
Okay. I mean, you do have a little twist on it with gratitude. Okay. Well, indulge me then. Let's just do this today for our days. I mean, you and I had like 5 minutes before this podcast to catch up on things, but I don't really know fully what your day was entailed. So tell me something that was a low light or a challenge or disappointment for today. And why was it a low light?
For today,
Just today.
it's only 1:30 in the afternoon. Let's
I know, but
see.
you and I have both been up since before dawn. So.
Well, I've been up since 3. A low point. Well, okay, trying to deal with I'm not going to name their name, an online website hosting platform. I hate them.
You hate them. What made it? Why was it a low light? Was it frustrating
Because I
or?
cannot figure it out. And then every time you call them to ask for help, they either send you one of their videos, which I've already gone through, or they offer that somebody else can build it for you at a much greater price. So, yes, that was a big low.
That was a big
Very
low.
annoying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
So I dealt with that by going and showering. Made me feel better. Shower always makes you feel better. You know, when I arrived at Everest Base Camp, my boss wasn't there and I talked to him on the, radio or whatever we talked on the satellite phone. I don't know what it was, but he was like, "Take a shower, you'll feel better." I'm like, "No." And he's like, "Take a shower, you'll feel much better." And I was like, "No, I won't." And he's like, "That's an order." And I've been hiking for days with no shower and I was bloat like you're I'll have edema, swelling everywhere. And I took the shower in the shower tent out on this mountain, looking at the highest mountain on earth. And I was like, "Oh my God, I feel so much better. I love it up here." When literally 10 minutes earlier, I was like, "This sucks. I don't know what I'm doing here." You know, and all it was a shower with a bucket over my head that I let the water drip out slowly. You know, but I got like cleaned up a little bit. So that's always kind of my go-to when I'm really feeling like just so frustrated. I do find that a shower really can affect your mental state.
Well, that's good. That's awesome. Okay, so you had this low light, but you found a way to kind of feel a little bit better. And I told you I will come help you if you want me to help you with the website.
I know I'm gonna have to employ your help. I hate to ask for help. It
I
really
know.
bothers me, but like, I wanna, yeah. So no, I'm not gonna name names because they're all the same. But yeah, that was my low. I was almost crying and I just
Oh
was
my
like,
gosh.
God, am I just the dumbest person on earth? You know, that kind of thing.
No, it's technology makes people feel like the worst of the worst, and that like literally like your IQ drops at like 100 when you try to do when you get stuck on technology. I was building a like a an Instagram post today on a platform not to be named. It wasn't a social media platform, it was a graphic design one, and I could not get the timer to change. So it was like the timer was on for way too long and it just had a big white space in the middle of the video. And I Googled and I chat GPT'd and I did everything. I couldn't figure it out. And so I made a workaround and ended up like piecemealing the thing using my podcasting editing skills. But I was so frustrated. And so that was actually my low light. So we both had a tech low light today because I spent
Interesting.
like 45
Parallel
minutes
lives.
and it was supposed to take
Yeah.
like 2 seconds to do this. It was just
Right.
going to export it. And it was like, why is this timer set way over the amount of time that the audio of the video goes? And so it was very frustrating. What did I do? Like I said, I just worked around it and I found a way to do it. And I found a way that I can actually from the front end, because I already halfway built these videos from the very front end, what I can do is before I even build them, I can finagle the timer. So I figured that out. But yeah, it was frustrating. So I get what you're talking about. That's a low light. But
Yeah.
So I think one of the things we both learned from that is one is that sometimes you need to go and just decompress and take a shower and like check out. And for me, I found a workaround. So I feel like I sort of achieved and accomplished, but it wasn't really the solution, but it was a workaround. So
Right.
okay, so then let's switch it. What was your highlight? What's a highlight today?
Mean, I always have a highlight of waking up alive and without illness and all that, and I'm happy and happily married and all that, but I'd say like today I recommitted again to going back out and getting fit. So I did make it to the gym, walk the dogs, went hiking. I haven't done that for a while. Get all those three things done before 7.
That's awesome.
Or by 7:30. Yeah.
It's like your trifecta. I remember you used to do that all the time.
I know. And then I got out of the habit. And when you get out of the habit, it's really hard to get back into it. But I'm like, I'm going to the gym and that creep was there, but I just don't even look at him. I know he's always looking at me, that old guy, Earl. But
he's been there forever.
I know. He won't go away.
I will not. Yet.
I will not make the mistake of ever talking to him again. But
oh my gosh.
I know. He talks to everybody in that gym, but he's been offensive to me. So therefore I don't even give him the time of day. And that's the thing is like, I'm like, okay, I don't care that Earl's there. I'm going like, good. And I just keep my eyes, you know, directed another way. And I go in and I like to be there before 5 if possible, because there's hardly anybody in there and I can just get my, I like to get, you know, I have a certain, what do you call those things? Machines that I use, and I don't want to do anything else. And I don't, you know, so like boom, 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 done. And then sit on the massage bed and leave.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a real highlight morning of getting a lot done. And we even got the kids off to school without too much. They were like, you know, ready ahead of time and everything. So
oh, wow.
I did not feel bad leaving for hiking.
That's awesome. So that's cool. Like you just reflected a few things. Like one, as you just said, what your highlight was. So you're reflecting on it. But two is it really highlighted the importance of getting fit and getting back to your routine that you love so much and your ability to find a way to avoid this creepy guy who's been at the gym. I swear to God, this guy lives in the gym. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, he's there every morning. So that's why I mean, he's like 80. So it's working for him.
Yeah.
You
okay,
know?
Well, good. But I mean, so I think that's pretty cool. So not only do you get to celebrate that highlight of your day, but you're reflecting on what's important to you and reinstituting it back into your life and the productivity piece. I think that's
right.
Cool. That's good.
Yes.
Well, I had a
and
highlight.
And yours?
My highlight was I got to talk to my kiddo. She's in Germany right now, and it's an 8-hour time difference, so it's sometimes really tricky for us to talk.
Right.
But we were sort of trying to talk a little bit about what's going to happen next year when she returns from her study abroad, and because she still has to finish up high school. And there were just a lot of options, and some were better than others, and it was I was kind of concerned that she might want to pursue some options that I thought were less ideal. And so yesterday I was struggling when I found that out. And then today I talked to her and we had a really, really good conversation. And we talked all about not just like the logistics of what next year could look like, but we talked about how important our parenting and parent-child relationship is and just how much we really love like living with each other and being in each other's lives and doing all the things that we do. We have so many like hobbies and things, activities that we do together. And so it was really validating. And then when we got off the phone, she sent me this text that just said, you're the best mom ever. I love living with you. And so that just, it was really important for us to have that conversation. And I think from that discussion, we also were able to explore some logistical possibilities that we hadn't considered before this sort of kind of, you know, options discussion took place yesterday. So it's kind of nice. I think we'll come up with a good solution that's going to be a win-win for everyone.
Well, isn't it interesting? Even with cell phones and, you know, FaceTime and all that, it's still, I have this feeling when you're abroad, you know, when you're on a totally different side of the world, it becomes, you have to make a concerted effort to stay connected. And I think you noticed the last time I went to Thailand, I didn't pay for cell service, and which I found out, by the way, I was still getting charged for stuff because it was coming through because I did not turn off my roaming or I didn't turn off something. So I like deprive myself of all the conversations I like to have for hours a day. And I still ended up paying, but they were so nice. When I called back, this lady went through every single day and like took off all the charges that I didn't actually get on the phone, but I'll never do that again. Like I will always pay to have cell service when I'm abroad. I'll never do that again. Like that was so limiting for me. And at first I thought, well, I'm just going to be here and enjoy being in the moment, but actually it sucked because like, yeah, sure. I love being there, but I also like the rest of my life. And so I think, you know, your kid's going to school, she's having a social life, right? And so it does become a little bit disconnecting. And you know, whatever this precipitating event was that caused you to actually have a deeper discussion, I think was important. And probably for her too. And I do think you feel like, oh, I'm so far away. And mm-hmm. it is weird. It's weird how like, okay, she's there for a year, but like that's her life now. She's immersed in that, you know?
Right. I know.
You know what I mean? It's hard to have two lives where you're like, well, I'm in also living in Tucson. And you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. yeah, I know. For someone who went present. Back and forth on my, right. you know, all different places, I get it. It's like really hard. And it's interesting because she's 8 hours ahead. And so sometimes if I don't get a chance to call her by like 11 or noon, I've missed my window for the day.
Right.
And it's like, right. oh, shoot. So we almost have to like plan it. And then we plan it. And then she's in the bathroom. And then she calls me back and I'm, you know, emptying the dishwasher. And next thing you know, right. it's too late. We did this the other night where it was just like, I'll call you. Okay. She called and I missed it. Then I called her back like 10 minutes later and we did this. And all of a sudden she fell asleep. And it was like, all okay. right.
Yeah.
So,
and it's hard because you don't really know what's going on. But I think that is the thing about being in, you know, reflecting and connecting. Like, you can't really reflect on your life without the important people being involved either.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, and even that discussion that we had today was all about, you know, not just reflecting on, like, you know, the previous conversations we've had about this topic or thinking about, you know, what would make her most successful and thrive when she comes back. Those were real tactical, but we're also reflecting on the importance of our relationship and how to keep what we love so much intact and not tinker with that. And so that was mm-hmm. really important for us to, we both came to the, you know, I mean, we had the realization, but we both came to a really stark realization that, you know, this relationship that we have is so very important and at the forefront of so much. And that was quite the highlight for me. So I you know. And
good. But her. Yesterday, interestingly, that was a low light because you guys didn't have time to communicate and information was conveyed to you that was upsetting. And then you didn't have time to talk it out.
Exactly. So a low light turned to a highlight, you know.
One day's low light becomes the next day's highlight.
Right. If you can figure out, yeah, where to move forward or that. And I had to also sit with it. It was probably good that we didn't have this conversation yesterday because I had to sit with it and think about what was hurting me or bothering me most about the situation and the unresolved that I had. Was it that we didn't know what the future held for her? Or was it that I was unresolved about our connection mm-hmm. and relationship? And I had to really sit with that. And then today I could have a much more intentional conversation. And
mm-hmm.
And she said, I really like this conversation a lot better than the one yesterday.
I bet.
That's
right?
what she told me. But I had some time to like kind right. of sit with it. I had some time to talk about it. I called you. I talked to a couple other people about it. And I feel, you know, I felt like going into today's conversation was much better.
Well, plus when it's just sprung on people, right? I mean,
yeah.
it never goes well. I mean, in the 1990s or... was it early 1990s or late 1980s, probably early 1990s. Like I wrote my grandparents a letter about being gay instead of saying it to their face. And mm-hmm. the reason I did that is because I needed them to have time to process. And I did not want to see their initial reaction to that, you know?
Yeah.
Like I didn't want to experience their reaction and I wanted them to be able to have whatever horrible reaction they wanted to have privately away from me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. by the time they responded was by letter back in that day or phone call. And it really helped that I sent them the letter because they wrote me a letter back, but I did not, who knows what they said to each other, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to know.
No, but
and they're dead.
You gave them that time though, to really like sit with it and see what that meant for them. Because yeah, you're right. When you're blindsided or you're caught off guard or something, it's hard because you don't have a minute to make meaning. And then all of a sudden you're having to reply back. And you and I are both extroverts and we're probably more adept at that or at least more comfortable doing it. But imagine being like an introvert who really needs to take some time to sit with something and they're bombarded with information and they don't have time to reflect.
Well, I think I remember telling someone that story. I forget what, but they accused me of being like cowardly or something. And I was like, no, like they have to have like, you know, they were in their 80s or 70s probably. I'm like, I have to give them their reaction, no matter what it is. And it would probably be hurtful if it was done to my face. And even though I could be, you know, a activist for my own rights, I still don't want to, like, I didn't want to have a big confrontation with them about it. And I really did want them to have their initial reaction be to, for me to be protected from that, you know?
I think it was smart. I mean, you know, it's hard because I found myself in this situation quite a bit when I come out to people over the course of my lifetime, not so much now because I sort of live out, so I don't really care. But early on when I was pulling people aside that were important to me and then coming out to them and people who didn't have the most positive reaction, I found myself slipping into helper supporter mode. And mm-hmm. because they didn't have a time to process it or sit with it, I was there like consoling them about their right. own, like, you know, right. for all intents and purposes, hatred of who I was. And right. I think maybe giving them some space to sit with it and say, when you're ready, come talk to me. That way they wouldn't feel also that they might say something that they would regret or, you know, but I think that's, right. I think that's not brave. I think it's more brave to say, you need to figure this out and you need to talk about it. I can't be part of that process right now for you. But when you're ready to talk, I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all equally, right? It's just very interesting because there is a lot of hatred against our community at this time, but it's not like it was even back in the day. I mean, maybe for transgender people right now, it's worse. And it feels like it felt for us in the 80s and way before that, you know, like, mm-hmm. I don't care now, you know, for me, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either. Okay. I don't like sit down and be like, I need to tell you something.
But you had to back in the day.
You did. You have to back in the day. Today, you know what I did? I put on LinkedIn. I put a little blurb about my book, and it just so happened to be the first line of my book where I say that I went to a lesbian pool party. And I realized that the thousands and thousands of people that I have on LinkedIn, they, you know, most of them have no idea what my sexual orientation is. I'm like, well, they do now. I don't care.
Right. Well, I just have the little rainbow flag in my bio.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, yeah. let's move along on this. So these are some in the moment reflections that you can do just about life, right? Like your lowlights and your highlights. There's one more question that I like to do when we're just kind of thinking generally about reflection is, what is one thing you learned today? You learned a new skill. You learned about yourself. You learned about the world around you. What do you think? What's one thing you learned today?
Are you asking me directly?
Yeah, I'm asking you. But it can't be like an opinion. Like, I learned that people are jerks. Like, no, that's not this. What did you learn? Did you learn something today?
No.
You didn't learn anything today?
I mean, I learned the news. I've read about the news, the horrors of the world that are happening. That's about it. I mean, there were several things I wanted to read about, events that have occurred. But like learning something, no. I mean, it's only 1:45 now. PM, okay. The day is young.
I'll call you later and say, what did you learn?
What did you learn?
I learned
today?
Something cool. I think I forwarded it to you. Maybe I'll have to look and see. But I learned that there's a research study that was done that found out that there are 7 positive traits about fast walkers. Yeah. Things that are sort of obvious, like, right, people that are ambitious or achievers, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And they're also more organized, get things done, you know, and they're also more likely to be extroverted. Some of the things that really aligned with me, but they also, the one that surprised me. So, like, I wasn't surprised about that. So while I learned it because it was official, I wasn't really, like, overly surprised. The one that surprised me was something about them, fast walkers, being more conscientious.
Interesting. Like of the others around them?
Yeah, of others around them and of, you know, I mean, I know there are people that go barreling through crowds, but people are pretty conscientious and they, you know, like you and I say, like, oh, my
God. Get out of people's way, right.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. I'll see if I can find the article and I'll link it in the show notes. But that was kind of neat. I learned that today. I mean, I didn't necessarily learn it like about myself, but what I did is I applied it to myself because I'm a fast walker. So I was like trying to think about times I might have been more conscientious. And you know, I was on a flight the other day and I had like zero time to get to my connection. And I was just like, I talked to everybody like around me in the plane. I'm like, does anybody have a connection? I really have to go fast. I'm going to need to move fast. And I kind of told everybody, and I was being really conscientious before I just like blew by them. And so granted, I was in a hurry because I had to get to something. So that's not necessarily just a fast walker. But I just thought about the fact that, you know, I try to be conscientious about that. So I did do some meaning making for myself as I looked at this study. So it's something cool I learned.
Well, good. The only thing you sent me was something about a man being naked at Planet Fitness because he thought it was a judgment-free zone.
You did. You learned that, though, right? Apparently, judgment-free does not mean that you can be clothing-free.
That's right. It never should at the gym. Thank you. Never.
Exactly. I also sent you another one that you'll get a kick out of. It's a very, it's very funny. It's about, it's a follow on to a discussion we had about rom-coms. You'll like it if you haven't looked at it. Okay. I think it's, yeah, you'll have to.
I do love a good rom-com, and I do love a good Hallmark Christmas movie.
You're gonna love it. You should literally look at this. You'll get it. You'll crack up about this meme I sent you. It's just.
Have you seen The Merry Gentleman on Netflix?
No.
It's a great one about a, you know, a dancer who goes back to her small town and her. You know, from the big city, and then her parents' bar isn't doing well, so she turns it into basically a men's, like a Chippendales kind of thing. Oh, and I know I have the boys watching it, 2 are 9 and 1 is 12. And then, you know, they don't always have the whole attention span for a full movie, but they're like, oh, the romance. And then they're like, this is not appropriate and all this. And then last night, they're like, can we finish Merry Gentleman? Can we finish Merry Gentleman?
Of course. That's so
funny. You know? It's so funny because it does, in the end, it makes people feel good. It's a feel good movie. And I thought that was interesting, even to young boys, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. Even though that was what, yesterday you learned something cool is that they found some, you know, entertainment. Well, value
that or... even very like masculine sports oriented people can be into like a Hallmark Christmas show.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I mean, you know, you and I watch some of the same stuff. Like, we watch a lot of the reality dating shows, and we watch a lot of these like Hallmark and rom-coms, like these Christmas movies and stuff. So, you know, runs the gamut. Okay, let's switch over. These were some good prompts just to recap for our listeners. It was, what was your low light today? What was your highlight today? And then what did you learn today? And these are just good because look at the conversation we just had. Those things probably wouldn't have come up in our conversation too. And maybe we even did a little bit of processing and reflection, even just in our conversation, which is kind of cool.
Well, yeah, the podcast is always a highlight of my day doing the podcast.
I love it. I love it. It's super fun. All right. So let's look at another type of reflection. And this is when you have like an incident and you're trying to think back about it, right? Whether it happened a long time ago or whether it was just like a conversation you had that went south maybe 2 hours ago and you're reflecting on it, like what, you know, what happened? What can I do next? And I know this is where a lot of people like to reflect, but I wanted to share this really cool method that I think that people, if you used it, if you want to be very structured in your reflection, this is kind of cool. And Tracy, you probably are like, I've never heard of that, but you probably use it.
Star L.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
Star L.
So what you do is you say, you think to yourself, what was the situation? Like, what was happening? What did I think when it was happening? Like, you know, so you're giving yourself a little bit of benefit of the doubt. Like, I thought they were angry, or I thought I could cross the street safely, or whatever. Mm-hmm. A is your action. What did you do? How did you behave?
Mm-hmm.
And then R is what meaning did you make? What was your reflection from that? Like, what meaning did you make after you took that action? Like right there in that moment, what did you make that meaning of? And then L is learn. What have I learned since it happened? Right. So like, this is a really cool structured approach. I've used this many times for things because it allows you to break down something that happened, because if not, we end up getting our emotions all caught up in it. And we're like, messed that conversation up, and you can't kind of get past that. But if you see where the breakdown occurred, maybe you misinterpreted the situation, or maybe your thoughts weren't really in alignment with what was really happening, or maybe the action you took wasn't productive, or you reflected inappropriately and really pulled out the wrong meaning from something, or maybe you didn't learn from something and you did it again and again and again. And so this is a great way of breaking things down into smaller pieces.
I have heard of it because you told me about it, and I think I used it for some work stuff.
Yeah, it's, people use it for job interviews a lot. Mm-hmm. It's like, describe a time in which you experienced conflict, right, in a work setting. If you mm-hmm. use star L, it really helps you articulate it, reflect on it, make meaning, and be able to like concisely, you know, derive something at the end. So, but it's really cool for reflection too.
Right.
So when you reflect on an incident, like what is typically your process? I mean, I know these are more constructed steps, but what do you do when you reflect on something that happened?
I mean, in true ADHD form, I would never have like a process. I would just think about it and then that's it.
But do you like replay it, replay the scene in your head?
Well, I mean, there's stuff that when I was going to therapy regularly, I would like be ready. Like I'd, you know, I might text my therapist, like what I wanted to talk about. Like I might text the things I wanted her to look at, like texts or whatever that were problematic. But no, I mean, no. Mm-mm. I mean, I don't know that I would go through any kind of like official like way of looking at it. But I mean, I process everything, right? So mm-hmm. I would process it by like in like talking about it. Not mm-hmm. forever or anything, but okay, I liken it more to like, you know, like maybe a Rubik's cube or like a cube, like a shiny cube, not shiny, like a diamond cube or whatever. And then you could turn it, look at it, turn it. And each time, like, you know, especially if it's like a cube, like a diamond cube, like light would come through and be refracted one way. And so you can look at it, you know, it's coming through this side and it's going off this way. So I see, you know, like can change while you're looking at it, right? Like there's so many ways to look at an issue. I mean, I think that that's been crucial for me is that not to look at it one way, but to turn it over and over and look at it over and over.
So how do you do that? And do you like think from like what different people's perspectives or do you think like, how do you get different angles? I get caught in one angle and I can't get out of it.
Well, I mean, I do what you do, which is a lot of processing with another person, you know,
so you like talking let them about ask it. You questions. And so like they can take it in different directions and maybe that'll help.
Yeah. I mean, some people are good at that and some people aren't. Right. So, and then I think that that's important also. It's like, who are you going to talk to? Someone who's actually going to help you, like be helpful about it. Right. Or somebody who's not like, or it's going to say maybe negative things or, you know, stuff like that. Like, I don't know that I have any, I might just, let's say we're hiking, I'm hiking with you and I say, okay, we start talking about something and I'm like telling you the story of what's happened. And then we just talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, you know, mm-hmm. like, I don't know that it, there's any kind of process to it.
Yeah.
Other than I know I've said this before, is like a cube, looking at a cube that's in the light. So I'm holding my hands up and like holding something in front of me and turning it over and looking at it and look at it from this angle and look at it this from this angle. So one angle might be that person's perspective. One angle might be my perspective, you know? So if I'm reflecting on something that happened, it can't just be from my perspective only, you know, even though in the end, it's really only matters what I think, but you know, that takes into account like somebody else's opinion or mm-hmm. feelings, you know?
Right. Yeah. Just another angle to look at it, really. Mm-hmm. Could it have been interpreted a different way by someone else
right.
or, you know, something like that. I mean, I get, you know, where I get caught. I don't ruminate a lot, but I speculate a lot. I mean, I used
yeah,
to.
Yeah. And you just kind of go round and round and round and round and round and round and round about the same thing.
Well,
and it's hard to get you off. Like,
and that's the same. And you do that too. You like to retell the story over and over because I think maybe you pull something different from it each time, but you retell the same story. But I don't tend to retell the same story, but I tend to ask a lot of why questions. Why would they do that? Why?
Right.
Why is that person behaving like that? So for me, it's like, I feel like the only way that my reflection is complete is if I get answers. And that's not really true. The reflection is really the process of making meaning of the incident without the answers. But for some reason, I get tripped
yeah.
up.
You ask about like why this, why that, and then I give you an answer, and it's not satisfying to you, and you keep asking, and I'm like, well, maybe this, but then eventually you're done,
Right. Eventually we got all the possibilities and I'm like, okay, well, I can live with all of those.
Right. I'm done. And if you can't, I mean, you have to live with them.
Yeah. I mean, I do.
You know what I mean?
But it's
you don't
almost
have a
like,
choice.
Like that reflection for me is almost like speculating what could every possible motive
right,
be.
You want to know, right?
And then once I feel like I've exhausted all the motives and there's nothing that will blindside me or, you know, catch me off guard,
right?
Then I feel like I have truly reflected. But if I feel like there might be some reason that I haven't explored, then I still feel in the dark and I need to continue to reflect. And none of those speculations could be true. And it doesn't matter, because the art of reflection isn't always about truth. It's about meaning making in the moment.
Right. Well, there it is. Meaning making in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not about truth, but you always are seeking truth. And I'm like, well, we don't know. How can we know? We don't know what that person was thinking. This is likely what they were thinking. And I have my own theories based on all of the human behavior that I've observed over the years, you know?
Right.
And when you ask me those questions, I'm like, hello, that seems pretty normal to me. But again, like, you're kind of an outlier in the way that you do and handle things anyway. So that I feel like I'm like the like more average person, normative person, you know? So then I have to tell you, well, of course, like, this would happen this way.
So wait, I'm an outlier. In what ways?
Because you like, one, think about stuff way more than most people do. So you're like going over and over stuff and how would this be received? And before you have a conversation with someone, you really like plan it out. Whereas other people don't do that. And so to you, something seems odd because you think, oh, well, if someone had really processed this, or if they'd done something, or, you know, if they'd been thinking about the way you were thinking about it, then they wouldn't have done what they just did. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but when I tell you that, I'm like, well, that's totally normal. You're surprised, you know? I don't think. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no,
if I say, do you think this person likes me? Do you think, you know what I mean? You're like, it never seems that you're in the range of the average person, because you don't act impulsively.
No, that is true.
Or even with a modicum of impulsivity, like nothing.
Right. Everything is sort of,
you know what I mean?
Laid out.
Yes. So then when I'm like, duh, like that's how, duh, this person likes, you know, that person or this person, whatever. I mean, I can think of several conversations where you're like, but I don't understand why this person wouldn't want something. And I'm like, duh, like nobody in that situation would. But it doesn't occur to you because you just like everything is very planned out for you.
Yes.
You plan out your actions.
Right.
Which, I mean, I think we've established that you and I are polar opposites in that way.
That, I mean, that is true. So when I think about how I might respond to someone who brings up something to me, I would respond in a way that was more intentional or planned or prepared. Whereas if I say the same exact thing to someone else and they impulsively respond to me, which is probably a more normal reaction, and they say something totally different because, you know, they didn't have a chance to think about it or whatever, then I'm kind of shocked. Like, why would you do that? When if that happened to me, I would have done this because.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way that you react would be totally different than them.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm shocked. I'm just shocked by some people's reactions.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm not. And I'm like, well, that seems like a very normal way of being to me.
Well, expected. I don't know about normal, but like if someone was in a scenario and they had something happen, yes, it could be unexpected. But yeah, I don't know. That's why sometimes I get disappointed when things happen, because I'm like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just do this? And so.
Right. And then I say, well, I think that's pretty normal of them, or that's what the average person would do.
Yeah.
You always seem surprised by that.
I do, because sometimes those reactions that people have are not productive at all. And I was expecting.
Or if somebody says something in the one time, like, I don't want to be very specific here, but like, if somebody says, okay, I'm going to do this, but really they then then they go do something else because their feelings are hurt and they feel humiliated or something like that. You always seem really surprised about that, because like, you're willing to put yourself out there to expose your vulnerability to someone in order to have a conversation about it. And 90% of people are not going to. And I tell you that, and you still seem surprised.
I know, and I will continue to be surprised, because
you know,
because
you're like, yeah, why would this person do that? I'm like, duh, of course they do that. That's what I would do.
I know, but I think that's not what I would do. So that's why,
right?
Yeah, I know, it's different, but I mean, that comes from my whole idea of like speculation, and then getting, you know, as I reflect on something, I really want to understand what someone's motive was. And I mean, I know your response to me a lot is, well, that's what a lot of people would do. You know, and, but yeah, the reality is I want to know why they're doing it. Even if that's common, why would they do that? Why would they say one thing and do another? And then you're like, well, a lot of people would do that. And it's like, okay, but I want to know why.
Well, yeah, because people are like on the spot or not truly reflective and don't want to be, right? And they just want to say something to get away, and then they're going to run away and do what they wanted to do if you hadn't been like right there in their face, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I would do, I'm probably less so than the average person, but I 100% get the average person's desire to not process with somebody who they feel they've been either hurt by or let down by or something. And so you say something in the meantime, just to get yourself out of there with no intention of ever following through on that.
I
whatsoever
know.
Or it's, thinking that like, oh, I can do this, and then just not, and then the person does not want to deal with it, does not want to talk to you about it, doesn't want to deal with it. But you're the opposite, because it wouldn't matter how uncomfortable the situation was, you still want to discuss it.
Yeah,
I mean, oftentimes they literally say duh to you. Do you notice that?
I know.
I'm like,
think,
duh,
you know,
what?
I don't understand why other people don't want to process conflict. I'm not trying to put it on them and tell them they need to go reflect. It's just that sometimes when you're in conflict, I mean, I can wait.
It's not even processing conflict all the time. It's just kind of normal stuff where, you know, the way that people like get together, they're not going to come up and just say, you know, I've really been thinking about this for a while. I think we should date. They send you a message that then you have to read into and talk to 8 other people about, what does this mean? What could this mean? And that, you always go for the like, well, if they wanted to date you or they wanted to do this, they would just say it. And I'm like, no, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. They would not. So I think you probably take the art of self-reflection a lot further than most people.
Yeah, probably, huh?
I mean, you think about things a lot.
I do.
I have called you an overthinker before.
I know, I'm definitely an overthinker.
But are you really, I mean, or do you just think to your comfort level?
I mean, it's not an overthinker to me.
Thinking becomes a problem, right. I say it as a joke to you, but like the thinking, it only becomes overthinking, in my opinion, when it's then causing harm to that person, where they just can't let something go from, you know, the people right. who I'm not like this, but they think about something they said years ago, or they think about, you know, what other people are going to think or whatever, that kind of thing. And then they really can't move forward in their life. Or it's not that they're not moving forward. It's like, it's something that still bugs them. I mean, you always hear jokes or whatever comedians talk about, or, you know, like, oh, third grade, you know, this happened, and they're still thinking about their response to it. But there are people who really do think for, oh, I shouldn't have said that, and it was 5 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, that's not me.
No. Yeah.
Because you're right. I mean, overthinking is when you're thinking to the point where it's harmful to you. But I don't right. think that I do that. I just think a lot more and process a lot more internally and externally than probably the average person does. So,
which well, then I believe I do the same, mm-hmm. and we often do it together, and then we can move forward and be done. I mean, that's where I feel like I am done with a lot of things, including like what I was referencing earlier in your book. So like if somebody mm-hmm. reads your book and they're reading it in real time, and they're thinking, I feel that way, and I don't, and I haven't. And like, that might have been a powerful feeling for me at the time. And now, like, literally there's nothing mm-hmm. because I did deal with it. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like I have done a really good job of that, of like reflecting on what is and also really like accepting that and taking the Buddhist belief that, you know, pain is inevitable and suffering is optional. And you can't punish yourself by being like going over and over stuff forever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I see people who do that all the time. They live with such regret, or they wish they could do something, repeat it and do it differently and all of that. I don't really ever live in that state, but it's interesting because you and I do process in our brains differently, but we both are external processors, so we can work each other through the stuff. I mean, you tell the story mm-hmm. 400 times over, and I'm like, I know the story. You know the story. Why are we doing the story again? But it must be that every time you talk about it, you get something more out of it. And for me, the speculation we've already talked about is I like to exhaust every possible motive that someone has, and then I sit with mm-hmm. them and I say, I can live, you know, I'm good with those. Okay. And then I can let it go, but I need to explore that.
Are you good with it, or is it just that you've come up with the possibility for what their motives were? You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm like, good with knowing that, not like I'm excited about that motive, mm-hmm. but like, if I feel like I know, if I've explored every conceivable possible motive that someone had for behaving in a certain way, and then I kind of process through each of those as if they were really what happened, then I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And I let it go. I mean, you're talking about the book, like so much of the stuff that happened in the book, I don't have those feelings anymore. You know, right. I did at the time. Right. And,
right.
you know, process through them. But it is interesting that you and I do kind of process differently, but the external thing helps because I ask a lot of questions and you just repeat the story, but both of us are willing to listen to it. I think if you were a third person trying to be in one of our processing sessions, maybe our listeners are feeling this right now, but if you were, you know, You would be like, what in the world? Like, Tracy, you've told the story 16 times. Corey, right. you've asked these questions that are just ridiculous. There's, you know, like,
right.
But it seems to help, right?
Yeah. And again, there's no right way. There's no wrong way. Each person does it their own way. And, you know, whether the other person's process drives you crazy, that's really just, you know, that's kind of the point. Like, does it work for you? Great. Mm-hmm. Keep doing it. Is it helping you to move forward in your life? If it's not helping you move forward, if it's keeping you stuck, if it's keeping you, you know, your mind going over and over something, or you feeling bad or whatever, like, I've had a lot of loss in my life, and not just death, but like, you know, people and things. And like, I couldn't like move forward with my life if I fixated on those things, you know? It's mm-hmm. not that I forget them or that it doesn't matter, but really, like, I process through it in therapy. I feel like I've processed through everything that I have ever needed to process through in my life, and I feel totally fine.
That's great.
And, you know, have you watched that Andrew Gibson, the movie about Andrew Gibson yet?
No. But it was
Do you know it?
No.
It's Tig Notaro made the movie. Andrew Gibson's a spoken word poet, and she passed away. Or is they, sorry, their pronouns are they, them. They passed away, and their partner is still alive, but also she's a spoken word poet. It's like All the Light in Something. I'll have to find it, but I started watching it last night, and it's, you know, she's dying of cancer, and everybody knows that, and she does pass away. And it's her, you know, it's like a memoir in real time. And it's all her reflections on life.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already doing reflections because she was doing a lot of really powerful spoken word, you know, poetry and writing poetry. But here now she's dying, and she and her partner are reflecting in real time. It's a beautiful, beautiful movie. And so she says, you know, when she found out she was dying, she wanted to live even more. And there were times in her life when she hadn't wanted to. And the act of reflecting, basically the whole movie is the act of her reflecting, which is her Come see me in the good light. That's what it's called. Come see me in the good light. And so I was watching that last night, you know, and with my wife. And then she was saying, you know, I don't know what I'd do if you got sick, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but this is why I live the way I live, where every day I know that. I know that we might not be here. We might not be here by the end of the day. So I don't want to live in a space of wallowing, mm-hmm. you know, but we do have to process what comes to us. And so I think the reflecting is processing is should only be to move you forward and not to keep you stuck or make you feel bad. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We've all lived in a way that we're not proud of, but you don't have to live with that for the rest of your life and beat yourself up. So if people are using reflecting to beat themselves up, I think that's really not good for them. Not productive. Not good for the world either.
Right, right. I mean, you're punishing yourself, you know, it's like, you know, that's the hard thing. Well, and that really kind of ties to this idea of like what gets in the way of really positively or productively reflecting, right? You know, you talk about the inability to forgive yourself. And so all you're doing is reflecting and reminding yourself that you made a mistake or, you know, beating yourself up for it. But it's also like some people don't reflect because they don't want to be the villain in their own story. You know, that's hard to really say, yeah, I do that. Or yeah, I messed up. And sometimes it just takes doing that to move on. Because if you kind of, in one sense, like if you kind of also victimize yourself over and over and over and over, and, you know, and there are real cases where people are like 100% the victim, but, you know, I'm talking about like an interpersonal dynamic or something, you know, most of those times there takes two to tango. And so thinking about if you're always the villain, you're going to feel that kind of, or you're always the victim. You're always going to kind of feel this like angst or anger every time you think about it. And it's like, well, take your responsibility for your part in it and move on. And that's,
but I think that's a really good thing that comes out of AA. I've never been in AA, but I know that one of their things is making amends, you know, and if you make your amends, you can move forward. Yeah. So I feel like we should all be doing that. Like I'll make my amends and then move forward. I know I've hurt people and I believe I've apologized for it all. And if I haven't, I'm willing to, but I also have worked through it in such a way that I'm also not going to let like somebody come back and be abusive to me. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, and that's part of the reflection too, is understanding what would you do differently if the situation came up again, right?
Right.
I would protect myself in this way, or I would do this, or I wouldn't say this. And so you can sort of interrupt any possible patterns, because that's also hard, is when you process through something that you did maybe, and then it happens again and it's the onus is still on you. You know what I mean? Like your responsibility. And it's like, this is exhausting. I did it again, you know?
Right.
People who, it was interesting, a friend of mine, last year she was flying to somewhere in the Caribbean and she overslept and missed her flight. And she kept beating herself up for it. I missed my flight. I had to reschedule, blah, blah, blah. So she rescheduled for, I don't know, later in the day or something. And something happened and she missed her flight again. And she's just like, it's like, okay, you can sort of, you know, come down on yourself, process what happened. Why did I miss the flight? I didn't set the alarm, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to do that again. And then turned around and did it again. And so that's the other part of processing. We just make it harder for ourselves if we keep repeating the same mistakes.
Right. But we have to sometimes, especially in relationships, keep repeating. Yeah. You know, we have relationships that are similar where we've done the same thing. Sometimes people have to do it multiple times to learn.
Yeah, that is true. Absolutely. And then you can continue to reflect on it. Why am I doing it over and over again, right? Not just why did I do it, but why am I continuing to do it when I know that it isn't productive? You know, and that's another question. So
that's some shadow work that has to be done.
Right, exactly. And we've talked about that, like what is holding you back from getting your coaching business up, or what is holding you back from writing your books, right?
And the website is holding me back. Well, yes.
Yeah. But it's the same thing. You've been in this crossroads before multiple times and I've been with you, and this is only in the past 4.5 years. And you're at the crossroads still making the same choices that you don't like. You don't like the choices, right? And so, but you're making them. And so again, that goes to like shadow work, right? Why am I not writing the book I want to write or whatever I'm doing? But,
I did listen to a podcast this morning when I was walking the dogs about business and just going forward. And she said exactly what you said. Well, time is going to pass no matter what. So exactly. You might as well take some steps. And strangely, interesting that you brought up the business and the writing, because I happen to have two ChatGPT windows open about writing and about business.
Oh.
And oddly, ChatGPT was very helpful.
Really? Did it encourage you?
Yes. It said, oh, this is what I wrote. Can I write the novel? Can I really write the novel I've always wanted to write? Absolutely. You can write the novel. This is ChatGPT's response. You can write the novel you've always wanted to write. And the fact that you're asking this question usually means two things are already true. One, you have a story inside you that's been trying to come out. Two, you care enough about it to wonder whether you can do it justice. Both are excellent signs. And then it's like, it literally said, if you'd like, I can help you with any part of the process. And I was like, oh my God, this makes me feel so much better than doing this with friends, human friends who are exhausted by my 17-year, no, it's probably 20 years now, my 20-year session with this book that I wrote that I can't find that, like, I'm like, should I write it? But I decided recently to embrace AI. And then I wrote to ChatGPT about my, I said, I have my own business idea, but I don't have the confidence to go through with it. And it said, it's completely normal to feel that way. Most people who have ever built something meaningful start exactly where you are, excited, uncertain, and a little scared. Confidence isn't something you're supposed to start with. It's something you build by taking small, deliberate steps. Here are a few gentle ways to move forward without overwhelming yourself. And I was like, hot diggity damn. And then I listened to a podcast which said the same thing. And, you know, that's another thing about our lives and the choices that we're making is I feel like getting multiple sources of help is important.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, now ChatGPT is my new cheerleader, you know?
You're literally processing with AI, but that's so cool, right? Because of whatever prompts you ask it, it might help you, you know? And I have asked it things like, what am I missing? Here's a scenario. What angle or perspective am I missing? Am I not thinking about as I'm making meaning from this?
And does it add things that you didn't even think about?
Yep, absolutely. If you look at it this way, it could be this. If you look at it this way, and it really has actually helped me. I've done that. Actually, I started doing that this summer, and I've done it with a couple different things. It's very similar to what you're doing, but really you're looking more for validation, but I was looking more for explanation. And it was like, well, that's
my God, but that's what we're doing when what you just said it. I'm looking for more validation. You're looking for more explanation. And that's what we're doing when we're externally processing.
That is true. Because you tell the same story.
I go over and over and over.
And then remember at one time I tried to interrupt and like tell you a different version, you know, and like, it's like, well, I guess it means this. And you got like, what now? And you wanted to tell your same story. But yeah, you want just to say, yeah, Tracy, that sucked. Yeah, Tracy, that sucked. Yeah. Like 400 times. And I want you to give me every possible explanation, even beyond the obvious one that, duh, I don't get, because I want to think about those. And so.
But I also don't do that now. Like, I haven't done that. I don't need to. That was during a period of time where I was in some very dysfunctional situations, you know? And I had to go through those to help me move through some way bigger dysfunctional ones. And that's what I'm saying. I had to look at it from every angle. I had to go over it and over and over and over it. But now those things are not even I have zero emotional attachment, feeling anything about it, because I did go through that.
Right.
And I didn't do that when I was younger. So I did hang on to things longer.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, now you know that's how you process. So, you work through some things to date, but there will be things that will shake up your world between now and when you die, and you might want to process them. And it's good that you know how to process what works best for you. So you can skip all the other stuff and you can just say, I'm going to tell you my story 62 times and I need you to validate it every single time and then I'll feel better. And if you know that about yourself, and you can even say that to the other person when you're processing, then they won't get so exhausted with you.
Yeah, I think I have said that to people. Like, I just need to say it. I just need to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to get like all riled up. If you don't want to listen, fine.
Right. Exactly.
But this is what I need to do to move myself forward.
Right.
You know,
Yep. And now you know that. So when you come upon something, you will know that that's the most useful for you. For me, I just say, listen, give me every possible like motive for why this unfolded the way that it did. Let's explore them all, even the ones that seem really asinine. And then I'll feel better. And I know that about myself. So that's an important part about processing, is you have to know what sort of works for you. And I mean, we've, you know, I've talked about daily processing where you can do some, you know, kind of prompts, or we've talked about the Star L method where you can really like maybe journal and sit down and write about different things or think through different steps. You know, there's talking with others. We've talked about therapy. We've talked about just thinking on your own, you know. So the really the key, I think, for reflection is finding that which works for you. And if you don't know what works for you best, try a bunch of different things and see what feels the best, what moves you through a scenario more quickly, more fulfillingly, and also where you can behave in a productive and healthy way. So that's when you know it works.
Yeah, I just Googled that. I just did processing while we were talking on ChatGPT, and I asked about self-reflection. It pretty much went over everything we did. And then I said, do people process differently? And it put a bunch in there and then said, key takeaway, different processing styles are right or wrong. They're just different. Understanding your own style and respecting others can make communication and self-reflection much easier, which is exactly what we're saying. Like, your way isn't wrong. My way isn't wrong. Might it rub the other person the wrong way? Yes. You got to find someone who can tolerate it, but you have to go through your process the way that you need to.
Exactly.
Period. Or you won't move through it.
Right. And if there's no one willing to be that external processor with you, if that's what you want, then you've got a great friend in ChatGPT.
That's right.
Boom. Mic drop.
That's right. It's true. Yeah. It's oddly true. And I'm going to be an early adopter from now. I'm going to stop resisting. I'm going to stop being a technology hater.
Uh-huh. And you're going to start saying, I can't hang out with you any longer because ChatGPT is such a great conversationalist. I'm having more fun.
Yeah, well, ChatGPT doesn't tell me I said something 62 times. It just listened over and over. I'm going to get it to the point where it gets snarky.
Yeah, you could take the same question in 62 times and it might say to you, listen, Tracy, you've already asked me this.
I know. I should do that today and see, is this true? Is it really true? Is that really how it is? And it'll be like, yes, I told you that.
Uh-huh, exactly.
I already told you that.
Oh, all right. Well, we have had yet another lively conversation and certainly learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. So if I had to go back and answer that question, what did you learn today? I can say not only did I learn about traits of fast walkers, I learned some cool stuff about our dynamic, which I think is really cool and probably will help us as we move forward.
And about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. About myself.
You're not normative.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Exactly.
That's right. Uh-huh. Exactly. And that's okay.
Well, everybody processes differently. So. You know?
Yeah, they do. And everybody processes differently.
As long as you know what works for you, great.
So, yep.
All right, listeners, everybody out there, think about how you like to process and then lean into it. Lean into it as long as it's healthy. You're not holding on to stuff and beating yourself up for too long about anything. Just process, move on, make some meaning, and then, you know, go enjoy yourself. So, all right, everybody. To all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.